And good afternoon. Welcome to this week's episode of Talk of the Rock. My microphone is kind of loose. There we go. I'm your host, Jared Griffin. And today we're talking about Mental Health Awareness Month. And this year's theme is More Than Enough. And so before we begin, we know that this is, of course, not always an easy subject to talk about, or perhaps not easy for some listeners to listen to, but we'll be discussing the significance of mental health awareness and resources that our listeners and community can access for help. And if you or someone you know is experienced or affected by a mental health crisis or challenges, there is help. You can call the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. And that's it. Just dial 988. It's free, confidential, and will connect you to emergency crisis and intervention resources. So joining me in the studio today to talk about mental health awareness and resources in Kodiak is Elamy Tiller, the outreach coordinator for the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center. Welcome again, Elamy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It seems like you've been on a few times already. I think you were last on there was the story event, Scuttlebutt,
yep.
Which was great. And then before, I think it was the Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Yeah, in October.
Yeah, so welcome again.
Thanks. It's nice to be back.
So let's first get into why Mental Health Awareness Month is important.
Yeah.
It was first started in 1949, which I learned yesterday. It's been around for a very, very long time. And according to the National Alliance on Mental Health, 1 in 5 U.S. adults experience mental illness each year, and less than half of them receive treatment. In fact, 55% of U.S. counties don't even have a single practicing psychiatrist. About 8% of youth will be diagnosed with an anxiety disorder sometime before they're 25. And almost 9% will be diagnosed with depression also. So these are just a few numbers. There are so many numbers that we could throw out there. So, but with numbers like these, Elamy, how important is Mental Health Awareness Month?
I mean, I think, it's so important. excuse me. I think especially, honestly, after COVID and everything that's been happening the last few years, a lot of us have been struggling with our mental health. Rates of depression and anxiety have gone up pretty much across the board, especially also in our young people. And, you know, I like to pretend that just didn't happen and we've moved on and it wasn't a big deal. But right. I know it's still impacting me, so I assume it's impacting other people as well. And I think, like with a lot of things, the more we can talk about mental health, the more we can be honest with how we're feeling, what we're experiencing, the more we can just check in with people that we care about and say, hey, how are things? What's going on? And they can, you know, be open with us and tell us, the better off we're all going to be and the easier it will be for us to kind of manage some of these problems.
Mm-hmm. And I did forget to note that neither you or I are mental health
yes,
professionals.
That is true.
We're not here to diagnose or
nope.
It's not a call-in show, but so we're just going to be talking about, we won't be talking about treatments, but we will be talking about resources.
Mm-hmm.
And other things that we can do, some self-help kinds
yeah.
of things that we can do. So let's start out by defining mental health. So I went through a mental health first aid for youth a certification last fall. And they defined the program I went through. They defined mental health as a state of well-being in which an individual realizes their own abilities, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively, and contributes to their community. What do you think? What would you add? Would you add anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I also teach some of those mental health first aid classes, and that definition is what we use.
Perfect.
And I think it's pretty up there, right? Like we all have bad days. That doesn't mean we have bad mental health. But if we're struggling to kind of just function, if we're having trouble maintaining our relationships, if we're not able to kind of live up to our potential. If normal stresses are overwhelming, then we are not in good mental health. So yeah, I think that's a pretty spot on definition.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. I like it too. It makes me feel good about, I guess, where I am right now. Everybody does have their bad days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the weather today or yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
According to the National Alliance on Mental Health, so they came up with the theme of more than enough for Mental Health Awareness Month. Mm. And they said that, this is from their website, more than enough, it's a campaign, and it's an opportunity for all of us to come together and remember the inherent value that we each hold, no matter our diagnosis, appearance, socioeconomic status, background, ability. It's, you know, if all you did was wake up today, that's more than enough. You know, no matter what, you're inherently worthy of life, love, healing, and sometimes just showing up just as you are is for yourself and for the people around you is more than enough. And I really, it's a great statement.
Yeah. I think that's, I really like that. And I think probably for a lot of us, that's hard to remember sometimes.
Is it just enough or more than enough? It's an interesting word. Enough. Are we giving ourselves enough of what we need? And So let's talk about your role at KWRCC and some of the mental health resources that you have there to help us realize that we're
yes.
enough.
obviously at KWRCC, a lot of our work is with victims and survivors of domestic and sexual violence. And we know that those kinds of violence have significant overlap with mental health struggles. Either people have those struggles because of their trauma, or sometimes having a mental health condition can unfortunately be a risk factor for experiencing trauma. So we know that there's a lot of overlap there. And one of the things that we work hard with on our crisis line and with our clients is just kind of helping folks to, you know, figure out how to be okay in this moment. While we can, you know, because it takes time to connect to a therapist, it takes time to get into actual treatment. And we know that everybody here in Kodiak is doing their best, but waiting lists are still really long. And that's, I think, just the nature of things in rural communities all over the country. But, you know, we talk a lot with people about how to, you know, how to manage right this minute. And one of the things I always ask people first is, you know, well, what helps you feel better usually? Like, what have you been doing? What helps you just feel okay? Because everybody has things. Everybody has strategies, whether they've kind of paid attention to it or not. And those might be, you know, anything from like, oh, I go and I pet my dog for a few minutes and I feel a little bit better, to, you know, I have grounding exercises or mindfulness exercises that I use. One of the things that I really appreciate, there's a lot of research out there that shows that connecting with nature, being outside, has lots of really good healing for our mental health. And we are really lucky here in Kodiak because we live in like the most beautiful place ever. And there's lots of outside and lots of nature that we can connect with, without having to go too far, without having to, you know, if you live in a city, you have to go find a park and that's okay. Or you can drive 3 hours to get to some woods and that's better. Here we can like walk outside for a couple of minutes and you're there.
Yeah.
So I encourage everyone, like, even if you just look out the window at a tree, that helps. But like, go outside and go for a walk for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was looking at a study recently and they said if you spend 2 hours a week outside in green space, that has significant impact on your mental health. And I was like, oh, 2 hours a week, that's not even hard. Like, I can do that. So I definitely encourage everybody to like go outside. And then other things that I especially like that are really good for kind of boosting or maintaining our mental health are just creative acts, anything with art or music, writing, theater, dance, any of those things are really good for us. Any kind of creative expression. And the best part is like, you don't even have to be good at it. You can make ugly art and it still is really good. You know, you can sing very badly along with the radio in your car and it still is really healing. So these are things that are accessible to pretty much anybody. And they really do make a big difference if we can express our feelings, express our experiences. We can't always do that easily in words and in talking, but if we can do it with colors or sounds or just movements, even if nobody else gets what we're saying, it still is a huge benefit to us.
Yeah. You know, I think that's one of the things that's covered in the mental health first aid is that I went through one for youth, for teenagers, for adolescents. And I'm sure this is true of adults, too. But it's exactly what you said. Many of us don't have the skills. We don't have the language to tell someone what they're experiencing or what they're being challenged with at the moment. And so since they don't have that language, there's no you know, outward way to relieve or release or cope, you know, with it. So that's why art is
it's huge.
Is huge. Yes. I think we should start like an ugly artists club, ugly art club. Because I do theater, but like visual art, I am horrible.
Oh, same.
At,
it's so bad.
Oh gosh, it's so I can't paint. I can't take a picture. I know. But maybe there's a club just for people like us.
Can feel really good, anyways. I just don't want anyone else to look at it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
But yeah, I think, you know, finding those creative outlets, finding those expressive outlets can really take some of the pressure off.
Oh, yeah. Especially, and if you can find a creative community.
Yeah.
A supportive community, which there are tons.
This is a great community for arts.
Yeah.
I really have appreciated that about Kodiak. But yeah, well, and really, too, I mean, I think the biggest thing that is important and healing for folks struggling with the mental health challenge is that social connection, is finding anybody else to connect to kind of on any level almost, but any safe person that you can talk to is really important. And so, yeah, if you can make art with somebody else, if you can go for a walk outside with somebody else, like that's even better. And I think it's really important too. I don't know about everyone else, but I know for myself, the times when I'm struggling the most with my mental health, I am the least good at telling someone.
Oh, for sure.
I am sitting there and I'm thinking, I probably should talk to someone, but I can't. Which is why it's so important that we ask each other how we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The times when I've been really struggling and someone has been like, hey, Elamy, how are you today? And like actually asking, so they actually want to know.
Sure.
Then I can maybe start to tell them. So
that's a really good point, because sometimes we see somebody who they're giving off cues that they're struggling, but we don't ask because we're not prepared for what comes next.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah,
right. And we're afraid that we will say the wrong thing, that we'll make it worse, we won't be able to know what to do if they say, actually, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there are all kinds of resources. Go take a mental health first aid class.
I'm going to promote the heck out of.
They're really useful.
Extremely.
I have taught a handful now, and every time I learn more things. So, like, please go take those. Next Wednesday, I'm teaching a suicide prevention training. It's just 1 hour. In the evening, but like go take those trainings, read some things. There's stuff on YouTube you can find, like there's all kinds of resources. But I think the biggest thing really is to remember that like You don't have to be a therapist to help someone.
Exactly.
You don't have to be able to diagnose what's wrong with them. You don't have to be able to prescribe treatments.
In fact, you shouldn't.
Please don't do those things. Yeah. But there's no pressure. Like, I don't have to talk to someone and be like, I know what's wrong with you and I know how I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest thing you can do is just ask somebody and then listen while they tell you.
You know, that was the first thing is to, one, make sure that they're safe.
Yes.
You know? But then, yeah, listen and listen non-judgmentally.
Yes.
That's, you know, it's like true, real listening.
Yes.
To someone.
To just let them tell you what they're feeling.
Yeah.
And to be like, I hear that you're feeling that.
Yeah.
Not, oh, you shouldn't be so sad or don't worry so much. Ugh. We all know that's never helpful.
Yeah.
But if you can just let someone be honest with you and receive what they're telling you, I think one of the most helpful things that I've had people say to me is, thank you for telling me that.
Yeah.
They didn't fix anything, but I knew that they heard me and that they were not mad at me for telling them.
Right.
And that made a huge difference.
Sometimes we don't ask also because there's, because of the stigma.
Yeah.
We don't reach out because of the stigma. And sometimes when we're struggling, we don't reach out because of the stigma. But I think those who want to help also don't, you know,
yeah,
reach out for the same thing.
I don't want to imply that there might be something wrong with you.
Exactly. Yes. So how do we dismantle that stigma? Yeah.
Again, I mean, I think the best way is just to keep talking about it. And I do. I am grateful. I think that our younger generations are a lot more comfortable talking about mental health and like talking about therapy and how that's a good thing. But I think, you know, the more we can talk about it, the more we can realize like everyone has these struggles. I don't know anyone that has never had a rough mental health patch.
Right.
We're not all necessarily like diagnosable and all needing serious treatment, but like we all have. Just like with our physical health, we all get sick sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's the same with mental health. And the more we can realize everyone is experiencing these things, and it's not bad or weird. Just like if I was sick, you'd be like, oh, you should probably go see a doctor. if I came here with a broken arm, you'd be like, hey, maybe we should go to the hospital right now. The same thing is true. Like if I'm struggling with depression or anxiety, or I'm struggling with any of those kinds of mental health issues, like it's okay for me to need help with that. We don't expect anyone to heal their broken arm by themselves. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't need to expect anyone to heal any mental health things either by themselves. And that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone has to go see a therapist or that everyone needs to go and, you know, go to the hospital. But like, sometimes you just need help from your friend.
Right.
And that's okay too.
And that's okay. And you know, there's a difference, from what I understand, you know, there's a difference between mental challenges and there's like everyday normal stressors.
Right.
And there are mental challenges, which is, you know, kind of an interference you get with, sometimes, and it doesn't go away very quickly, but it does go away, but it sometimes takes a little bit longer. And then there are mental illness and mental disorders, which are
much more significant.
Much more significant.
Yeah.
So
I feel like it's kind of like, you know, some days I wake up and I'm just like, I didn't sleep really good and I'm kind of tired.
Yeah.
That's like your normal stressors. And some days I have a cold or I have the crud and I feel sick for a while, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing my body can't handle, but it's going to take me a little bit.
It's going to take time. Yeah.
I might need someone to come and, like, you know, help me get some groceries this week or take my dog for a walk or something. And then there's like pneumonia, and that's what I need to go to the hospital see an actual doctor.
Right.
And there's, you know, kind of anywhere in between there on that spectrum. And just like our physical health, you know, there's all those variations. The same thing is true with our mental health.
No, I like that. I like that. The metaphor of the cold and pneumonia. Yeah. That's really good. you also do some work in the schools with anti-bullying. Or maybe not anti-bullying. That may not be the right phrase.
More dating violence prevention.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it's related.
Yeah. And your work with that, do you see a connection between mental health and bullying and dating violence with kids?
I mean, I think, again, like being in an unsafe relationship is traumatic. Whether or not there's actual physical violence involved, if you don't feel safe with your partner, whether you're 12 or, you know, 52, it is very hard. And I think too that, again, unfortunately, folks who are struggling with their mental health are often more vulnerable to being, targeted by unsafe partners. And so I think there's definitely some significant, overlap there.
And I would also, and I'm sure you've probably also seen this with your work with KWRCC, but the connection with substance abuse too.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, again, there's a lot of overlap between being a victim of violence, having mental health struggles, and substance use. Again, whether the substance use kind of kicked off your mental health problems, or you're self-medicating your mental health problems by using substances, either way, they can be co-occurring problems. And I think, again, it's really important if you're talking with someone and they're telling you about their mental health struggles and their substance use struggles to be really holding off on that judgment. And it's really hard, especially when they are young people and you want to just be like, no, stop, be safe.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, to be like, okay, we'll deal with that later. Hang on. Right now, I'm going to be a safe person so you can tell me what's going on, and then we'll figure out what to do about it after.
Yeah. Yeah. There's time.
Yeah.
So early intervention is extremely important.
Yeah.
Does KWRCC do screenings, or do you usually refer those?
We'll refer those out. We don't really have the know-how for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously we're always kind of keeping an eye on everybody around us, and if we're concerned about somebody, we're going to check in on them. We're going to see if they, you know, need to reach out. And I know too that they, you know, obviously, like, your best bet is to go get an actual screening from an actual mental health professional. But, like, I want to say it's Mental Health America on their website has, like, screening tools that you can just, you know, quizzes you can take on your computer or on your phone. And then they're like, yes, you might be struggling with anxiety.
Okay.
You're like, oh, okay. And sometimes I think that kind of thing can help, just to help us give words
exactly.
to what we're feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
So while, again, like, if you're feeling those things, please go talk to a professional.
Yes.
But if, you know, if you're not quite ready for that step and you're like, I don't know if what I'm feeling is a thing or not, like, there's things you can do by yourself online to kind of check out and see, like, oh, yeah, that does sound like me.
Yeah.
Or, oh, no, that's obviously not what I've got going on. Yeah.
The words are really important.
Yeah.
In the mental health first aid, we also kind of learn about warning signs. We've been talking about, you know, talking to someone or asking questions, how are you doing? But what are those signs that should compel us to ask somebody how
right.
they're doing?
Right, that's a great question. I think that the shortest answer is you just look for significant changes in either the way somebody looks, the way they're behaving, the way they're thinking or feeling. So, you know, if someone is always been really on time for everything and super responsible, and now all of a sudden, like, you realize, oh, they're not showing up to stuff, they're missing things, they're late, they're, you know, not prepared. Like, it's probably not because they suddenly just became really lazy, right? There's probably something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you see someone who, you know, usually is put together and they dress nice and their hair's all done and they're showing up to things like not like that. again, it's not, you know, they've probably just recently decided that they don't care and that they want to be a mess. Like, there's probably something going on.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think too, the tricky thing is sometimes a lot of us are really good at pretending we're fine in public. So I'd say even the people that you think are great, like, check in with your friends and just ask them. It's the same advice I give to people about their friends' relationships. You know, like, just ask your friend about their partner and how's that going don't make assumptions that everything's great because they look fine on the outside. Because sometimes on the outside, everyone's put together and fine. And on the inside, they're not so fine.
Right.
So it's important, I think, just to check in on everybody. But yeah, if you notice that people's behavior is changing, if you notice that they're, you know, the way they're talking is changing, if you notice especially that they're struggling to kind of do basic functioning, that's when you know, like, oh, something is wrong.
Yeah,
because again, it's usually not going to be just that they decided to fall apart.
Yeah, today I'm done.
I just don't care anymore.
We have a few minutes left. I want to get to talk more about the training and the mental health first aid that you offer. But before we get to that, what are some of the resources that you have as an advocate?
Yeah.
As someone who's kind of on that crisis front line.
Right. So, I mean, first of all, I would say anyone that's struggling, that isn't sure what to do, you've got 988 you can call. You can also call a Kodiak crisis line, which is 907-486-3625. And you can call those lines anonymously, confidentially. You don't have to tell anyone who you are or any of those kinds of things if you kind of want to talk through some stuff. It's also really important, I think, to remind folks that you can call those numbers if you're worried about somebody else, too.
Right, right, yes.
It doesn't have to be your crisis. If you're like, I've noticed these things and I'm not sure if these are warning signs or not, call and talk through with someone and they can help you figure that out. Other than that, I think, you know, on this island, unfortunately, like, we're a little bit limited in resources. If you're having a crisis, like a serious emergency situation, 911 is still your best bet. Go to the hospital, go to the emergency room. I think Providence Counseling Center has somebody available during business hours, at least to talk with folks who are in a crisis situation, which is great. We're a little limited here still. And again, like, they're all doing the best they can.
Right. And which is why some of these community trainings are important. So the one, tell us, what's the one that's coming up next?
So Talk Saves Lives is next Wednesday at, I want to say, 5:30 p.m. at KWRCC. It's free. It's a 1-hour presentation about suicide prevention. It's called Talk Saves Lives because, again, we know that talking about things like suicide and mental health really actually can save people's lives. And we want to do that.
And do you know when your next first aid, mental health first aid?
I don't think we have any on the calendar right now, but I'm sure we'll be doing some in the fall. Okay. We do it for youth and adults, mental health first aid to help youth and to help adults. Yeah. They're both really good classes. They're usually a whole day training. There's a lot of really good information that's applicable to a lot of situations.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Elamy, outreach coordinator at KWRCC. Thanks for coming in and talking about mental health awareness and mental health resources here. And yeah, those numbers again are the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. And if they call the 907-486-3625, do they talk to somebody local?
Yes.
So if you want to talk to somebody, rather talk to somebody local, 907-486-3625, if you or someone you know is experienced or affected by mental challenges or illness in a way that you want to help out.
Yeah.
So thanks again for coming on, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.